Almighty God, you have given your only Son to be for us a sacrifice for sin, and also an example of godly life. Give us grace to receive thankfully the fruits of his redeeming work, and to follow daily in the blessed steps of his most holy life, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from Genesis, chapter 45. Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Send everyone away from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers, and he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, so dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. He said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty. And now your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my own mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father how greatly I am honored in Egypt and all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here." Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, while Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And bless us. A reading from a letter of Paul to the Romans, chapter 11, verses 1 through 2a and 29 through 32. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. I am myself an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, so they have now been disobedient in order that, by the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience, so that he may be merciful to all. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew chapter 15, as we say together, Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus called the crowd to him and said, Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them. When the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" He replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." Peter said, "Explain the parable to us." "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile them." Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that very moment. The Gospel of the Lord. As we say together, praise to you, Lord Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and his risen, living, and returning Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the love, power, and the joy of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What a story! What courage, tenacity, and just plain chutzpah! Reading Jesus' encounter with a Canaanite woman during this season of Pentecost speaks right into our time and place. I say this because first, we meet a person of such faith that she won't take no for an answer. And second, we see that our God is constantly entering new territory and breaking boundaries. Our God is in the unsettling business of meeting outsiders and granting them not just a crumb, but a place at the table. Wow! How timely is this text from Matthew's Gospel for you and me today, who live in such a divided, conflicted world. Now, Jesus had just entered Tyre and Sidon. And by the way, that's in modern-day Lebanon, not far from Beirut, where that awful explosion happened not too long ago. It's here where the Canaanite woman instantly greets him. It's remarkable that enough word about Jesus had spread to this non-Jewish region that this woman would somehow know who Jesus is. The text does not say that he performed any signs in Tyre and Sidon before meeting her, and yet somehow she recognizes him, not just as a roaming healer, but as a rightful king. Notice this non-Jewish woman greets Jesus as, quote, "Son of David," unquote. Her recognition is all the more remarkable because the disciples have been a bit slow and recognize Jesus, as you'll remember. In fact, way back in chapter 14, walking on the water, after that, they do recognize Jesus as the Son of God. But it's not until chapter 16 that Peter declares Jesus as the Messiah. Yet this woman hails Jesus as the Son of David. She begs his mercy and asks for his power over a demon that is severely possessed.
possessed her daughter. We might ask ourselves, how is it possible that this woman has more insight into Jesus' identity than his disciples? She is, after all, an unclean outsider, part of a people remembered as an ancient enemy of Israel. There's good news for us here, that God's way of making himself known to people is not limited to his followers. It may seem either unnerving or maybe reassuring for us to recognize that God's embrace for people far exceeds our ability to comprehend his love and outreach. We at St. Andrews are surely doing our part as witnesses for Jesus Christ, but the good news is that we're by no means the only folks out there who make a difference in the wideness of God's love for everybody. One of the most obvious issues in Matthew's story is Jesus' response. Well, it's perhaps perplexing, actually. At first, our Lord does not say a word to her, but he refuses to send her away either. Only after her persistence does he converse with her. In fact, twice he explains to her that his mission is first to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This is a common theme in Matthew's gospel, which was primarily written to introduce Jews to the Jewish Messiah, Jesus. After all, from their point of view, it's a Jewish God who chooses the Jews from ancient times to bring forth a Jewish Messiah when and where he pleases. The disciples, too, seemed to think that Jesus should stay focused on the needs of Israel. They kept telling him to send this woman away because they were sick and tired of hearing her cries for help. You know, personally, I believe Jesus' refusal to listen to the disciples gave the woman hope that a request would be heard. Notice she does something that's very significant in this gospel. She kneels before Jesus. The author of Matthew uses this action as one way to talk about something befitting a king. You'll remember in the Christmas Epiphany story of the Magi, who are also Gentiles, they're the first to offer worship and bend the knee before the infant Jesus. At any rate, this woman kneels before one whom she recognizes as having authority not only to sit on the throne of David, but to wield power over evil. And yet it is true, Jesus' response to her second cry for help includes a restatement of his mission to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He even likens her status as a Gentile to the status of a small pet dog who longs to be fed from the master's table. What really catches our attention is something about this amazing woman. She's not to be deterred. Even in face of some of the claims that the Jewish Messiah Jesus makes, she claims a place in the household, but it's not a position of privilege or even the position of an insider. She accepts the status, believe it or not, of a family's dog by claiming that even the dog enjoys crumbs from the table. Her statement is striking to us. She places her hope in what others have discarded. This son of David has so much power that there's enough power for the house of Israel and more than enough left over for her too. Clearly, she's not trying to undermine Jesus' mission. She just wants a crumb. Recognizing that even a crumb is powerful enough to defeat the demon that has possessed her daughter. And so Jesus offers freedom for the Canaanite woman and her possessed daughter. In fact, he openly praises her faith. This woman seems to understand what the members of the household of Israel have yet to grasp in Matthew's gospel. Jesus is not just the hope for Israel, but hope for the world. This Canaanite woman will never be defined by national or racial or religious prejudice again. She is now a mother like any other who desperately seeks help for her child. And for this mother's sake, Jesus heals her daughter. And my dear ones, listen carefully. Perhaps Jesus can heal us too, especially in this divided, racially conflicted nation of ours, healing us from the temptation to hang on to old stereotypes and habits that prevent us from embracing our own common humanity. We recall with hope and joy the glorious gospel announcement of God's widest embrace for everyone. As it is written, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever," notice, "whosoever," anyone who believes on him, "shall be saved." Alleluia and amen.